Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 23rd of May, recording at, it's another late one here, 10:02 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Another one of those very, very long days. If I have a number of meetings and so on, that does hold up the work somewhat. But more importantly, let's get on with the audio. And first, the highlights: that global stock market rally continues, and most significantly, the majority, if not all, of the European, the developed country European stock market indices are testing their highs. And of course, Finland had moved through to a new high, I think it was early last week, led by Nokia. But this is an important group to see testing its highs. Okay, elsewhere, bond markets are really quite strong in here today. Have a look at that Bill Gross report, which I think has been out for, I think, a little over a week, but that's been an influence, a week or two perhaps, but it's certainly been an influence on sentiment. And in the currency markets, we've seen pause here in the dollar rally, but nothing looking like a downward dynamic. There is a short-term overbought condition, however. And metal markets mostly firmer in here today, particularly some of the industrial metals. Okay, let's go back to the beginning. The important point is that this continued stock market rally, and I see no evidence that the rally is over. And we do have short-term overbought conditions. It would not be surprising if we saw the European markets encounter resistance near their highs. But the more important point is that the strength of this rally, which has surprised me, does really question my medium-term bearish hypothesis in here. And it raises two questions. Either the outlook is, or my forecast is premature, or it's wrong, completely outright wrong. And I'm not certainly ready to concede the latter one, the latter point. I think not over any hubris, I would hope, but because we haven't had the reconfirming technical evidence on the upside that may come, or it may not. But also, there are a number of factors that I've been mentioning day after day and week after week here that I think are that augment against the global stock market rally, providing another really meaningful upleg. But of course, there are plenty of people who disagree with me, and they are in the ascendancy with every day that we get on the upside. I'm in here, and some of the arguments that they would be putting forward, you would see also encapsulated in that Bill Gross report that I posted and disagreed with, at least regarding the overall conclusion. Now, if you feel that stock markets are going to be moving higher in here, for whatever reason that you would care to select, then I would say if you invest globally, my preference would be, as it was back in 2003 and last year, to really look at Asia. I noticed that, you know, my current portfolio position, I do have a number of long positions, although I had hedged it all out. And those hedge positions are feeling a bit uncomfortable at the moment. But things like India doing extremely well, and that J.P. Morgan Fleming India Trust. Thailand looks awfully good on the valuations, and the pattern continues to firm up. Australia and New Zealand, those markets took a beating when they finally came down off those upward accelerations that we had seen, but both of them have firmed up quite considerably and are in a rally phase, although nowhere near the previous highs, unlike the European stock markets. I have a few more qualms about the European markets overall, but some of you who are very active in those markets, go through and look at And if you want to participate in that market, pick up the shares that led the breakout, or in other words, move to new highs for the year ahead of the indices. Those are the ones that are showing the relative strength. And if you're bullish and feel that markets are going to remain firm, then those that showed the early relative strength breaking up through, say, their March highs will more likely than not continue to lead on the upside. Now, if you're not bullish, then I wouldn't feel any urge to participate other than in what you're already holding on to. And I do not personally feel an urge to go out and leverage up again in stock markets as I certainly did in 2003 and the beginning of 2004, and then the September period onwards in 2000 and 2004. I think also that if my more bearish hypothesis is wrong, then we would see those supply and elasticity markets come back and fairly soon. I noticed there's some talk from OPEC today about possible oil supply cuts. We know that OPEC's going to want to keep that oil price firm. I don't think they'll have a great deal of trouble in actually achieving that. And there's plenty of demand around, just to state the obvious, particularly increasing in the emerging markets, the big emerging markets, such as China and India. But to get a powerful move on the upside in oil, we would need to see a backwardation come back into play. In these government bond markets, if you want the counter view to what I've been saying, then certainly look at what Bill Gross has written there. Now, at the risk of making a very uncharitable remark, and I'm not questioning Bill Gross or anyone at PIMCO's integrity in one iota, but it's this kind of view that will not surprise someone if they consider that it's coming from a house that makes most of its money in terms of the management of fixed interest funds. And I think there are an awful lot of rationalizations in that report that I posted, but you be the judge. Have a look through and see what you actually think of it. But that view is holding sway at the moment. I have seen, or I would not be surprised to see sentiment change fairly quickly in the bond markets, certainly if we begin to get growth evidence that the US economy is not still slowing down, is actually picking up. And certainly, if we get more whiffs of inflationary pressures, and remember that the US bond market is right back in that same territory where Greenspan talked about people being desirous of losing money and talked about the conundrum. So I think this is a risky period here right now. Do I see any evidence that the US bond market rally has ended on the charts? Well, I thought I had it. It lost upward momentum and we had some downside dynamics. What was that, about 3 weeks ago? Usually, when that occurs, if that doesn't cap the market, and there were some quite powerful downward dynamics, and incidentally, they have held in both Australia and Japan to date, although not in Europe and not in the USA. But usually, if those downward dynamics don't mark a peak, and they were quite powerful, then, or don't mark the peak, they mark a penultimate peak. But certainly, with the European markets and the US bond markets pushing through to new highs on prices, then some further downward dynamics would be required to really provide some confirming evidence that the rally is ending or over, and that hasn't happened yet. Now, in terms of the US dollar, I said short term overbought, but again, I repeat that there isn't any evidence that that move is over. Now, if the US economy remains firm enough and house prices remain firm, and say we don't get a big move down in consumer spending, you can bet that Greenspan will be pushing interest rates higher, and probably higher than people have been discounting very recently, and saying that they may only go up another 25 to 50 basis points, and that could cause a future problem for the stock market. On the supply and elasticity trades and the precious metals, well, first, you know I like both these sectors on a secular basis, but precious metals really do need a softer dollar to perform here in the short to medium term. And we're going to have to wait for some clear evidence that this dollar rally has peaked. Very often, we've had some quite clear signals from the US currency, both in terms of rallies and sell-offs. So I would be hopeful that we'll get more of the same and be able to spot that. And then that would create another money-making opportunity, not only in terms of shorting the greenback, but also in terms of being long the precious metals. Right now, if I had any position in currencies with a pistol at my head, I'd be long the US dollar, although I'm on the sidelines at the moment, having taken that profit in my US dollar long against the Japanese yen last week. In terms of the industrial metals, now, I had to either roll my lead position, my remaining lead position forward this morning, or close it out. And I decided to close it out because I've been wanting to lower some of my gearing. But lead had a good day in here today. I only caught a little bit of that rise happening because most of it came in the afternoon. But back up to 978. That's up $25, and the backwardation expanding out once again. Cash lead closing at 1,025. Well, someone's obviously still buying the lead, and ditto copper in here. Generally firm today. Big backwardation holding there. The tin backwardation is holding. The nickel backwardation is holding. The only ones that aren't in backwardation are aluminium, which had slipped out of backwardation, but it's only a small contango right now. And then zinc, which has not been in backwardation. I don't think it's been in backwardation throughout this cycle, or if it has, it was only there really quite briefly. But the point I'm wanting to emphasize here is that backwardation indicates in three of those metals indicates real demand. That's demand, whether it's coming from China or India, from the United States or somewhere else. That's not hedge fund demand. I think we can be pretty sure of that. So this supply and elasticity theme really remains alive and well, although we've seen a lot of closings of speculative positions in here in recent months, including some of my own, of course, and perhaps some of yours. Now, the other interesting area, which I've been keeping a sort of an eye on, but hadn't done much until today, was this grain and bean complex. And you might recall, veteran subscribers may recall, that I was saying last autumn and winter, well, talking about the fourth quarter of 2004, that one of my themes was that the agricultural commodities would remain the cheapest asset class, and that was quite likely to get a decent move this year. And certainly would if we saw any weather scares, let alone weather damage. Weather serious crop damage, and you get an absolutely major move. And at some point, I've been expecting Chinese demand to come back in to these markets. Well, that process may actually be beginning. And I did conduct a review of the sector and have a look at some of those charts. I do still have some of my corn position, as you may recall. I'd halved it on the last rally, and prices fell all the way back down and actually went to new lows. I did not buy more down there. It would have been a smart move, and that had been my professed tactic of baby steps, only buying these grains on the sell-offs and trading them out on the rallies because of contangos. Well, I went against that strategy in here today in going back into soybeans, and I bought soybeans near the higher side of their range, which they were testing. Well, sort of feeling that it was a good 50-50 chance that they would come back within the range, and if I see them dip down a little bit further tomorrow, I may add to my positions. I've been baby step buying, although within quite a tight range, as you'll see in comment of the day. But I have been tempted to be more aggressive this time around because there's actually a backwardation now in the soybeans. And that's really quite interesting, showing that there is a nearby shortage. So somebody's obviously buying the soybeans for consumption, not speculation. And equally, we have some of these potential crop scares. Now, if that consumption fades, we lose the backwardation, go back into the normal contango, and the weather outlook improves, so the crop yield prospects improve, well, then I'll lose money on this trade and it'll fall back possibly significantly. Conversely, if we are seeing the return of Chinese and other demand in the soybean markets, and if that weather wild card comes up in terms of negative for crop yields, then we could see some hugely explosive moves. I mean, really 50, 100% in these sectors. So that's worth a speculative play on my part. And for some subscribers, particularly new subscribers, if you think, well, I talk too much about speculation and not enough about investment. I do have my investment positions in my self-administered pension fund. I had raised some cash, as you're probably aware, but I've still got a number of core positions, particularly in India and in Thailand, also in Japan, although less than I had previously, and also in mining and oil shares. And looking at the rallies that we've seen in stock markets recently, I'm not at all displeased that I held on to those positions. Those remain core positions, which I've said I will only sell if markets do something silly on the upside. And I think that's a wrap, folks. So all the best to all of you.